This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
And a good Friday to you. Good morning. 97.1, Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov and Greg behind the glass. We're all settled in.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Congratulations.
You made it to Friday.
You made it to Friday. Here we go.
All downhill from here.
It is. It's been downhill since Wednesday.
Yeah, pretty much. Your mind shifts. The psyche shifts.
Oh, there's no question. No question. Especially with the Tigers' win yesterday. It feels like we are actually running downhill.
Yeah, we're on Pistons playoff eve.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
6:35, we'll have some receipts now that the Red Wing season is over and the Pistons' regular season is over. We'll make fun of ourselves.
How wrong were we on both?
That's why we do it, though. We'll get to it at 6:35. John, the Tigers did win last night, and the highlight of the game was?
The fact that we had Green and Torkelson both hitting at the same time. Just imagine, that's a one-game sample, what that would feel like over the course of 162.
I was concerned this wasn't allowed cosmically in the universe. Only one of them could be contributing at a time. Twerk delivers, and then Riley Green's right there. Riley Green had three hits yesterday.
I know, 3 for 5, and they were opportune hits as well.
I mean, all of them. That game was tight for a while.
Yeah.
And they helped break it open.
And I mean, you want to talk about opportune. It's a two-out double, scoring two runs for Torque, and then, you know, Green pops him in. It's just that if you can get the thing started early, everybody loves it when they score in the first inning. But scoring in the first three, mm-hmm. being able to take a lead at that point against a team like Kansas City, who right now they're on a brutal road trip. They are pressing to try and get anything going, and then they don't score until the eighth. Like, if you can get up on a team like that, it's a moral beating mm-hmm. at that point. By the time they get to the fifth and they haven't scored, they're like, man, are we ever going to score again?
Well, it was one chance against Reese Olson.
And bases loaded.
And he delivers. Mm. Big strikeout because the sac fly scores a run. Big strikeout, and then he gets the fly ball to end the inning. Reese, for most part, settled in, did the thing, kept him shut out. But then Canely comes in. A little traffic late in the game, the eighth inning. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing, John. He throws basically one pitch. Change up, little fastball. Change up. Just gets out of there. No one can hit it. He's sneaky, the addition we didn't spend enough time talking about, the back end of this bullpen.
Yeah. And how about, I mean, I was listening on the radio with that bases loaded moment, mm-hmm. and Chris Federer comes out, little chat, and it's, what is it, two pitches later, they're out of the inning. You know, it's a punch out and a fly out.
And a win against the Royals. They're the biggest competition in the division, we think.
It's really hard to tell about this division, isn't it? I mean, you look at it and you think, well, the Cleveland Guardians right now they're sitting there at 500, and Kansas City right behind them. Kansas City been on that brutal road trip. Eventually they'll be at home. Eventually they will be a decent team. I mean, their arms have been good, but listening to the broadcast last night, and I love it that they break it down a little bit more in the fact that there's a couple of guys on the Royals who have tried to change their launch angle, and they're just hitting long fly balls. And I know it's hard to make those adjustments going back to what you were before mid-season. So I don't necessarily know that they are the – I think it's still Cleveland that's the biggest competition in the – okay, we're arguing about mediocre
teams. No, I'm not going to fight you. I think it's either Kansas City or Cleveland.
Yeah, but the fact that they are – they're a game and a half up right now for the Tigers. It's just something to monitor. Mm-hmm. Can they build a lead? Obviously, you know, everyone's building a lead on Chicago. Minnesota's been underwhelming at to this point. Kansas City, their big thing last year was their pitching staff. And pitching staff's good, but they were hoping the bats and the defense behind them, and both of those have been lacking for Kansas City.
It's got to be more than Bobby Witt.
Yeah. Well, even him yesterday, it wasn't Bobby Witt. It was, you know, bobbled it at second base, what should have been a double play, and leads to another run.
With Riley Green, it's amazing how one hit can just change everything when you're in a slump like that. I know they were talking about on the TV broadcast how, you know, AJ said, we think he's Riley, he's just going to figure it out, but you got to give him a little, you got to remind yourself, hey, you got to help him out too. Once Riley gets going, John, we see it. It's not one, it's two, it's three. I feel like he'll go through another slump at some point in his career, but I feel like we're going to see him come out of this now. Three hits in one night suggests, all right, something clicked. I'm not guessing up there in the batter's box anymore.
Well, hopefully he develops some confidence, and it, you know, I'm not going to say one game gets you out of a slump, but it sure is a nice start to getting out of that slump.
I mean, he needed anything. He could have taken a broken bat dribbler that he legged out for a single, and if that was the only hit of the day, at least it would have been a sigh of relief. But for him to get... I think his first hit was the upper fastball, and he's got that uppercut swing. All right.
Yeah.
But then later in the game, he gets a changeup and a two-strike count low in the zone, and he goes down and gets it. Now you're seeing him change the eye level and still make good contact. That's not who we were seeing for the last couple weeks.
No, but if he can get back to where he was, where we think he is as a consistent player.
He's an all-star.
And Torque, if Torque's able to stay kind of where he is now, right? I mean, he started on fire at the beginning of the season. It cooled off a little bit. There was a stretch there where he was 0-10, blah, blah, blah. But batting 286, and you look at his, you know, all of the stats, the OPS, he is 1.0.
Yeah.
It's just, this is, if you can have him as your right-handed bat, the guy that you wanted to add in the offseason, and you find out he was already here.
I mean, it looks like he's going to provide 25 home runs roughly, right? I might be lowballing it.
Yeah, as I say, I feel like
25 seems very safe.
Here's my take on him. I don't think there's a going back. I think he has made an adjustment that is permanent. I think he's probably, he knows he's had to fight for his job.
Mm-hmm.
His career might have been dangling out there a little bit. He would have got another chance somewhere else.
Yeah.
And I don't see why the power would go away. He might. I expect him to fall in average. And, you know, if I can get 250 and 25 homers, that is something completely unexpected put into this lineup that nobody saw coming. And I think last night was that's how they're supposed to look against a right-hander.
Last night, you're in a 0-0 game against a division opponent who many think is going to be right there with you to the finish line with this division race. And it's a tie game, and you got to break through. And who are the guys to do it? Torque and Green back-to-back. That's the vision.
How about Torque? Yeah, the rifle right down the line.
And even late in the game, two-strike count. Yeah. Straight up the middle. Good approach at the plate. There's going to be strikeouts, but it comes with power. And that's always supposed to be the trade-off with a slugger. If you strike out a lot, it's got to come with doubles, triples, and homers. And Riley and Torkelson can both give you that. I go back to that cover. They were on, like, Baseball America 2022. It's Torque, it's Green, and it's a saying... Tiger Kings.
Yeah.
And this is the face of the Detroit Tigers moving forward. And we had not seen them contribute really at the same time since that cover, but this is the season we could see it.
We could. Right. Yeah, and yesterday was a nice treat. It was that carrot that they're just dangling out in front of everybody. And I'm not going to overreact, right? I was going to come in here and say, you know, all the different things about, you know, right, with their 11 wins and they're, what, you know, 79 shy of 90. And,
well,
and,
on their way.
Know, they were starting to count down, but...
Well, he was taking shots at us yesterday after one day.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. And Maya is still here. It's amazing. But it's... I mean, just let us dream for a day.
Yeah.
If this is what it could be, along with Kerry Carpenter, and the fact that he is hitting, and he's not just hitting righties. And Dylan Dingler is just is seeing the ball, is swinging well right now. And you get Jake is coming back from that oblique injury. And not that he adds a lot with the bat, but he's really good behind the dish. Like, there are some really some great things to be excited about. And now we're just waiting on, when are we going to hear an update on Vierling? And when are we, I mean, we know kind of about Parker Meadows, right? We get in the end of May.
So there's this theory in baseball. I don't know if you're familiar with the power of five. They say like your best five players can be a key indicator. Like if you stack your five with the other five, typically that's the driving force for winning. As much mm-hmm. as all these other fringe moves matter, you got to have your five studs. I mean, two of the five are Torque and Green, right?
Yeah.
In this scenario. And they've not been able to count them at the same time at any point in their major league careers. If you've got those two, clearly Scooble's one of the other ones. Who are the five for the Tigers?
Well, I'm
Kerry Carpenter.
Kerry Carpenter.
So it's your 2, 3, and 4 hitters, your ace, and then who's the fifth? Flaherty, maybe.
I mean, you could talk about Flaherty. You could talk about Dingler.
Sure.
You could talk about, I mean, right now when Gleyber Torres is healthy, he has been.
He's been a nice addition.
A nice addition.
I was leaning him.
And now you're not relying on, now you can sit there and let Cole Keith find his way. He doesn't have to be the everyday second baseman. He doesn't have to be the everyday first baseman. You can allow him some time to find his way.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't do anything last night. He had 2 ABs, and mm-hmm. you know, he's 185 still. I mean, how long are they going to let that stretch out? It'll be a while. They signed him to an extension. Again, we keep getting, we're eventually going to have this game where he's pinched on the roster. He's going to be the guy.
Well, right now, he's a DH almost exclusively. Like, he'll give Torres an off day and play the field, but he's a DH at this point, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which means your opportunities to play are limited, especially as guys get healthy and more quality bats are added to the team. But I think it's tough.
We didn't even mention Javier.
Yeah, we haven't even mentioned him. But I'm saying with Cole Keith, don't get hung up on 180. On base is there. He's drawn walks. If he's just a guy who's contributing at the plate, getting on base is a huge part of this.
Oh, I agree with that. It's just eventually, I don't know. It's a guy. I mean, he hit fifth last night, didn't he? It's like, why is he hitting fifth?
You saw who hit third yesterday, right?
Was it McKinstry?
Yeah, Zach McKinstry.
But that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
That's why I don't think they'll ever go on a real long losing streak. Because they're just playing matchups. Like you said, the power five or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're piecing stuff and it's working.
Well, ideally, you do
both. That's Moneyball.
Ideally, you're doing both. But like the point is, great teams typically have at least five guys who play every day, who drive the bus, who carry the day. And then you're right, even the Dodgers will mix and match at the bottom half of their lineup. But you got to have your studs at the top. And it looks like the Tigers may have their guys now.
Mm-hmm.
May. I keep saying May because words matter and it's so early. It's not even the month of May. But I love seeing Torkelson and Green back-to-back do what they did last night. And I think every Tiger fan does.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Pistons and Red Wings receipts from our Factor Fictions. Regular season's over for both of them. Pistons will play in the postseason. We'll get to that at 6:50. Our preview, our prediction, who wins the series, and in how many games. 97.1.
Hey, it's Heather. Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years, guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 per month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with autopay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store in Detroit today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And we would like to tell you a little bit about our podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crime-ity.
I do extensive investigative research and go deep into the darkest corners of the human psyche.
And I'm just here to lighten things up a little bit with humor, baby. You know, never at the expense of the victims, though, obviously.
Come join our family of little psychos over on Psychopedia. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Mm-mm-mm. Music to our ears. Dan Dickerson, Tiger Wynn, Torkelson, 2 for 4, drove in 3 runs. Riley Green, 3 for 5, drove in a pair. Say that again. Riley Green, 3 hits. Yeah,
that's the story.
That is the story. The two of them contributing back-to-back in the lineup. That gives this team a huge runway.
Did you shred that those stats that you saw that were left here disrespectfully?
They're gone, John.
Good.
Never to be
good.
Read again. 635, receipts from our Factor Fiction on the Pistons and Red Wing regular seasons. Both are done. Pistons playoff preview at 650. John, how about a pit stop? Pistons playoff game is Saturday. Michigan spring game is Saturday.
Yeah.
You'll be there.
Yeah. And it there's going to be a lot of people that I think that are going to be there because there's not going to be a radio broadcast. And the TV broadcast is going to be delayed a week. So a little bit of a compromise to still having the spring game, but not exposing their guys in the portal. All that, you know, BS. Mm-hmm. A lot, every eyeball that is there and when it's eventually broadcast is all going to be on Bryce Underwood. There's no secret about that. That is the number one storyline. It's the quarterback at Michigan, and it is a very highly compensated young man from a local high school. So what I've seen in practice, he throws a really nice ball. He is everything as advertised. Now, you go from State Street to Main Street, things change a little bit. So we'll get a chance to see them in a little bit more of a competitive environment. You know, they've been in the Big House. They've had practice there, but now fans will be there. There'll be some TV cameras. I know Big Ten Network is going to be there. I want to see how he handles that. It's the next step. It's not Saturdays in the fall, but it's the next step. And I also hope Wink dials up some blitzes and really puts some pressure on them. Where are they coming from? That's going to be the biggest thing for him. He's got all the tools.
Yeah.
And if you saw him in high school, just imagine – it with they had great athletes, but with better athletes all around them. Biggest question, I think, is not going to be Bryce Underwood. It's going to be that offensive line. And is Kripp is a little bit heavier. Greg Kripp in the center. He's done a better job of setting anchor. The question is going to be left tackle.
Yeah.
Evan Link, they moved him from right to left. It's where he played in the bowl game. All eyes are going to be on 65, Andrew Babalola, freshman, early enrollee. 5-star guy, still learning the game, much like quarterback is. And how does he react in this environment? Because as soon as things get a little faster, all hell breaks loose. Technique breaks down. How does he recover? How does he regroup? All those different things. But the receivers, Donovan McCauley, who's actually the only guy on the roster that's thrown a touchdown in Michigan Stadium. A little fun fact. He's a transfer from Indiana, was there as a quarterback, moved to receiver. 6'5", Jamar Browder, 6'5". You finally got some height at that wide receiver position, some experience. Fred Moore, speed down the field. So that's really what the offense is, what most people are going to be looking at. Justice Hayes, obviously, in the backfield, and a healthy Jordan Marshall. Defensively, what you saw against Alabama is pretty much what this defense is going forward. And I think it's going to be a very good defense. You're not going to have Mason Graham or Kenneth Grant up front, but you got 6 guys that are cookie cutter guys. They're big, they're strong, they're quality, led by Rayshon Benny. Those 6 guys are going to be rotating through. They're going to be fresh. The guy that I've talked about for a number of years, Derek Moore, had an unbelievable spring. I think he's set up to be a unique talent at that edge position. He's going to have a big year. And then obviously Jayshon Barham. Guys are going to be, everybody's going to be looking to where Wink uses him, how he lines up. He's not going to show everything, but they are going to use him in some unique ways.
Bryce is going to be the headline coming out of this.
No question.
For those that go and see and watch, they'll have their takeaways.
I like the way he throws on the run. I like the way that, you know, and the other thing they're going to be looking at is Chip Lindsey, new offensive coordinator. What's the offense look like? Are they actually going to have a passing attack? Can they throw the ball more than 5 yards downfield?
It was a frustration all of last season. And you're right. You want Bryce to win the job. He's a five-star. They've given him all this money. You want him to earn the job, grab the reins, grab the offense, take him to another level. Week two, they hit the road to Oklahoma. It'll be loud. It'll be stuff thrown at him as a young quarterback. It'll be a big test early in the season. And then the week after, they got to play the vaunted Central Michigan Chippewa. So there's no easy games.
Oh, man. Early in Let's the season. Start building that one up.
Let's get to Heather with the news.
We're going to feel a significant warm up today. It's going to be great. Oh. Temperatures are going to rise from about the lower 50s to maybe potentially 80 degrees. It's going to be a warm one. AccuWeather says that Metro Detroiters can expect showers and spots this morning, then a breezy and pleasant spring day with some clouds and some sun. So it sounds like the day is going to be great. However, the evening is going to roll around and it's going to turn.
You can stop there.
There's going to be some pop-up storms that could bring, you know, damaging wind, hail. So we got that in the evening. But when it comes to Easter weekend, which everyone's got activities planned, sounds like Saturday is going to be the best day of Saturday or Sunday. So Saturday, they do say showers could hang around in the morning, but it should all dry out by the afternoon, high of 65 degrees. Sounds great.
Beautiful.
Easter Sunday, cooler. More clouds, maybe a shower, a high of around 52 degrees.
That's still all right. Yeah.
It's all right. Yeah.
Baseball practice tonight.
Oh.
It'll be the first time that the coaches show up in shorts and the players still have to wear pants. Right? Yes. Always wear your pants at baseball practice.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Baseball players, yes, because you might need to slide.
Mm-hmm. Now, when it comes to weather for the summer, apparently we got to be ready to sweat because it's going to be a hot, hot summer, according to both almanacs and the National Weather Service. So according to the old Farmer's Almanac, I'll tell you what they say. They describe the summer as sultry.
Ooh.
Whoa.
Oh, wow.
And thunder-filled for the Great Lakes region. They say heat will be in full force by
sultry,
July.
There better be a lot of thunder.
We'll be in full force by July with above to high above average temperatures. They are already predicting, though, that our 4th of July celebration could be ruined with some storms because they can predict that far ahead. But yes, that's what they're saying.
They can't even predict 10 days out. What do you mean there's going to be thunderstorms on the 4th of July?
Severe thunderstorms
Yes.
Sweeping from the west could threaten the 4th of July holiday.
Okay.
So that's what they're saying. Uh-huh.
There's your July forecast in April.
The other Farmer's Almanac says the same thing. It's going to be hot, rainy across the Great Lakes region, hotter than normal temperatures across most of the U.S., also above normal precipitation. So there we go. And everyone's kind of on the same page. National Weather Service, same thing. They say for June, July, and August, 33 to 40% chance of above normal temperatures for most of the state.
So they're all guessing the same thing.
But at least they're on the same page.
Right. They're all guessing the same thing.
I think they're making educated guesses, though. They are using
their knowledge of,
I don't know, weather.
Yeah, well, the good news is they're not always right, because I don't want a swampy summer. That sounds like a swampy summer.
It does sound swampy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see. Just let's wait and see. Yeah.
Not a big fan of the heat myself, but I'll take all the sunshine.
Yeah, let's let it play out. You might have heard this, you guys. Two people were killed and at least six others were injured on Thursday when a gunman opened fire at Florida State University. So sad. The suspect, a 20-year-old student and son of a sheriff's deputy, was shot by police, taken into custody. They say the motive is still unclear when it comes to the suspect. In one article, I did find that he was the stepson, either way, of the current deputy, had access to one of the mother's personal weapons. Police have not identified the two people who were killed, but did say they were not students at the school.
Yeah. I've got a nephew that's a grad student down there.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah.
And was he there on campus?
Oh, yeah. You heard the shots. And it was, I mean, everybody's scrambling to find out, hey, is he okay? What's going on? What's the news? Did they get him? And at one point, wasn't there a report that there were two?
I didn't follow it when it was unfolding, only the aftermath. So there could have been, but I didn't hear of it.
It's just a scary situation.
For sure. There was a chaotic scene in Detroit on Thursday morning. A 22-year-old man escaped from police custody while still in handcuffs. So he...
I saw the video.
Yeah, well, I mean, epic. And he was on his own for about 30, 40 minutes, right? Running around with handcuffs on. They say he was initially arrested around 8 to 9 a.m. for carrying a concealed weapon. But during the arrest process, he assaulted officers. And while he was being transported, he assaulted the officers and then was able to flee the scene. They found him about 40 minutes later near an apartment building in Midtown.
Yeah. Chased him down
yeah, after a foot chase. And
it was a great tackle, too.
Yeah. Got him.
It's Heather with the news. Coming up next, receipts, end of the hour, Pistons playoff preview. Who wins how many games? 97-1. This will be fun because we don't remember what we said. This was Fact or Fiction, Pistons and Red Wings edition. Greg, you've got them together. Let's get some receipts.
Yeah, so we did this with two different segments on two different days. So we got to combine this into one segment, so we got to hustle up here. Let's start with the Red Wings. Vladimir Tarasenko, the Red Wings' prized free agent acquisition, will have a 30-goal season. Costa, you said fiction. John, you said fiction. Tarasenko finished with 11.
Hey,
look at us.
All right.
Alex DeBrincat will return to his 40-goal form. Jim, you said that was fact. John, you said fiction.
One away.
39 was the total.
Fiction. There you go. Fiction. Mm. I'm 2 for 2. How about that?
Look at you. You know the Red Wings. Uh-huh. You know Puck.
Yeah.
Lucas Raymond will have an 80-point season. Jim, you said fact. John, you said fact. Lucas Raymond finished with exactly 80 points.
3 for 3.
Look at this guy.
Wow.
More than three goalies will start a game for the Red Wings. Now, when we did this, the season had already started, so they already started three goalies in three games. Jim, you said fact. John, you also said fact. They had four goalies start. Remember, they added Peter Mrazek.
4 for 4,
deadline
baby.
Deal. Peter Mrazek is going to come up later in this Fact or Fiction as well. Marco Kasper will play half of the season with the big club. So that's 41-plus games. Jim and John both said fiction. It was, in fact, fiction. He played 20 games, about a quarter of the season.
This is unbelievable. I'm 5 for 5.
All right. Here's where the fun begins, Savick. Jim Costa will call for Lalonde to be fired before Christmas. We've got an audio daily double. Let's start with John.
You mean the guy that's willing to hand out strikes? The guy that's willing to ask the question, are you doing a good job? And irritate every single coach that we interview? I'm going to say no, actually.
John had fiction. What about Jim? Does Jim know his own self?
I'm going to say fiction here. I'm not ruling out the possibility that I call for him to be like, oh, we do see coaching changes frequently in hockey, but I think Yzerman is patient, and I'm going to at least give it through the new year. But if it's scuffling like they were last year, you got to do something.
Jim's second ex, John's first ex. That is fiction.
What? You didn't call for his job, did you?
Yes, he did. Did Jim not call for his job?
Was there like a... This is murky. I don't know if we did like a grandstanding proclamation, but everybody should.
You never
pounded
on the table and said he needs to be fired today.
No, but it was obvious he should have been fired before the new year by everybody. That's a weird one to grade, right, Tom?
I think you guys, I'm going to go with you with the murky, and I just say we leave this as kind of incomplete.
Okay.
Because the other thing was, too, they played December 21st, I think, against the Blues and lost 4-0.
Yeah, I was at that game, and it was clear he needed to be fired.
But you weren't here.
No.
You were off for Christmas, and I just think there's a very jaded world there, and he was fired the day after Christmas. You know, it's a, move on.
Yeah. Okay, I'll give myself 5.5 out of 6.
Cruising.
Okay, well, we're going to need more help here. 197-1, the ticket host will call for Steve Yzerman's job. Now, before I give the results, do we have anybody who called for his job? Apparently,
fire
Jim didn't...
Steve Yzerman.
That's an old drop before this year.
Yeah.
And he's not a host, by the way.
I know.
So, I mean,
I don't know that anybody
did.
I don't think anybody did if Jim didn't call for Derek Lalonde's head.
Yeah, nobody did.
Costa, you said fiction. John, you said fact. Said it only took one. So that's going to be an X for right. John.
5.5 out of 7.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
Here's where it gets murky again for the Red Wings. The Red Wings will be buyers at the deadline.
No, that doesn't count what they did, right?
Well,
okay, so they traded a established player, Joe Valeno, for an established player, Peter Mrazek, and they also got Craig Smith in the deal.
Yes.
So they got
Is
more.
Is that buying?
I think it's lateral.
Right, that's lateral. That's not prospects for player.
Right. It's not giving up a pick or adding a top four defenseman or top six forward or something like that.
So we're grading that as they stood pat?
Yeah, that's what they did,
they
right? That's
how. Sell?
What would you classify with the Wings?
I don't know.
I think they stood pat.
No, I think we're all trying to figure out what the Wings did.
I know we are.
Yeah, essentially, it was standing pat.
Yeah.
What do you want to say?
Tom, grabbing the mic
You can't sell Joe Valeno.
Right.
That doesn't make sense.
Anyway, what else we got?
All right, last one for the Red Wings. The Red Wings will make the playoffs.
No.
John, you said fiction. What did Jim Costa say?
Fact. It's got to happen, and they've done what they need to do to get here. It's Patrick Kane a full season. It's Simon Edvinson a full season. I'm tired of hearing about, well, New Jersey's going to be good. The Wings should be good too, okay? It's okay for our team to get better. I think the Caps slash the Islanders drop out, and the Red Wings grab one of the final two spots. Fact.
Yes, we all know that the Caps dropped out.
The Islanders did.
One for two. There you go.
Fiction
is the verdict on that one, John. Another plus in your win column.
That's right. I crushed that one.
All right. That was the Red Wings. Now let's move on to the Pistons.
Let's get to the Pistons. I'm sure we all predicted 44 wins and a playoff spot. Go ahead.
I'm sure you all did. Oh, here's one. Here's kind of a layup. Cade Cunningham will be an all-star. John and Jim were aligned on this. They both said fiction.
Did we really?
Yes.
Oh.
You said improvements, but not an all-star.
Wow.
Tobias Harris will be the second leading scorer on the Pistons. Both of you said fact. Incorrect. Malik Beasley,
damn,
your sixth man of the year. 16.3 points per game.
I think going back to that first one, I think the whole Cade thing, I think that was because
he won't get respect.
He won't get respect, yeah. Which, yeah, I don't think anybody thinks anybody here is getting respect, but we didn't think that they would have a team success.
We
which
both believed
also
in Cade,
yeah,
but we didn't think he'd get the credit.
It's a way to defend ourselves.
Yes, trying to anyway. Cover our tracks.
Okay. Bernie or JB. God, I keep calling
He's
him
not
Bernie.
Buying it.
JB Bickerstaff will make us believe that the Cade-Ivy combo can work. Jim, you said this would be fact. John, you said this would be fact.
Did
no
he?
Action here. Yeah, 30 yeah. games. Remember, they improved and really started playing well in the season after
Ivy
got hurt.
Right.
I think this hung jury, man. I think the verdict is still out here. Call this a mistrial, if you will.
Okay.
Tim Hardaway and Malik Beasley will finish the year with the Pistons. Jim, you said this was fiction. John, you said this was fiction as well.
We thought they'd sell.
Both Hardaway and Beasley are, in fact, still on your Detroit Pistons. Fact
I think,
the verdict there.
Yeah. I think everybody thought that. I think Trajan Langdon thought that.
Yeah. They were one-year deals, two-year deals in the case of Tobias.
The Pistons will not have a losing streak longer than 10. Both of you said this was fact. Final verdict was fact.
Boom.
Finished with Max was 4. That's the start of the season. Started at 0-4.
Wow.
The Pistons will have a 5-plus game winning streak. Jim, you said fiction. John, you said fiction. This was fact. They won 8 in a row at one point in the season.
Mm-mm-mm.
The Pistons will finish with 25-plus wins. Jim, you said that they would. This is a fact.
Mm.
Barely. But all counts the same.
Sure. Yeah.
John, you said fact as well. Both of you get that one
back
correct.
In the win column.
Right.
There we go.
And then finally, the Pistons will make the playoffs. Jim, you said fiction. What did John Jansen say? It's another audio daily double.
Oh, boy. Are we ready for the update? I can't believe this is a real question. No. I'm sorry. This is fiction.
Oh,
as much
man.
As I want to be a fan, as I think JB Bickerstaff is a good hire, and the added no, this is they're not even close.
Is this even a question?
These tools.
Look, nobody believed in the Pistons. Neither did John Jansen. Both of you said fiction. It is a fact. they will be playing.
Did I really say, I did say, is this really a question? And here they are at 44 wins. Not even in the play-in tournament, but a six seed.
That was fun.
It started off fun. I enjoyed the Wings factor fiction. Not so much the Pistons, but I am enjoying the Pistons' success.
I think for the most part, you guys did better on the Red Wings factor fiction than you did on the Pistons factor fiction, which leads me to the conclusion that the Pistons exceeded their expectations more than the Red Wings fell short of their expectations.
That's I would agree with that.
Put the, yeah,
that's a good summary.
Softens the blow a little bit.
Makes you feel a little better. All right. It's factor fiction. Receipts edition. 97-1.
Hey, Detroit.
They tried.
Hey, Detroit, it's finally time for baseball and getting back outside, and I've got your drink for the season. Surfside iced tea and vodka made with real brewed tea with summer in mind and a proud partner of the Detroit Tigers. Surfside is only 100 calories, 2 grams of sugar with no bubbles, and their iced tea and lemonade variety packs are so good, and with no carbonation, they're super easy to drink. So just look for Surfside Sunset Stripes, Surfside iced tea and vodka, sunshine in a can. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
Now here is DeBrincat laying it back on the blue line. Sider to DeBrincat. He scores! A slap shot from the left circle beating Joseph Wall. And that's goal number 39 on the season. And it's now 3-1 Detroit.
7 o'clock hour. We've got the cookie jar with some Easter questions. It's Good Friday. 7 o'clock hour. There's a move every Red Wing fan is looking to see this team make. Do you want them? Can they get them? We'll get to it. Pistons play a playoff game tomorrow, John.
Sure
Let's throw it out to people. Who wins this series between the Pistons and the Knickerbockers? And how many games? 248-539-9797.
I know you've been pounding the drum. And you are. I want to hear what you have to say. I don't want to wait any longer because I want to know.
How many games?
Yeah, because you've already stated they win the series.
Pistons are winning the series.
All right, and I would like to know, you don't have to go game by game, but at some point they're going to have to win one in New York. When do they do it? And how many do they win at home? Do they win a couple in New York? Not just at the beginning.
Look, I don't think they're intimidated to play at the Garden. I think there are certain athletes that get up to play at the Garden, and I think Cade Cunningham's one of those athletes. They went 2-0 at MSG this season, and he had great performances in both games, a triple-double, a 36-point outburst. They will win a road game in this series. The Pistons win it in 7.
You want the suspense.
And I think I want the moment of this team dethroning the Knicks in a game 7 at the Garden. John, I'm not getting up here telling you because I love the Pistons are going to win the series and it'll be easy. It's not going to be easy. But I think they pull it out. And there's a couple things that stand out to me. One, I got the best player in the series. No disrespect to Jalen Brunson. Cade is him. He's that guy. And I think it will be noticeable in this series. The Pistons have the better defense between these two teams. Factual for the season and since the new year. The Pistons have the number 3 defense in the sport since the new year. Well, what happened when the Pistons played the Knicks and won all those games? Turnovers. A bunch of them. 15, 18, 17 times in those Pistons wins because it leads to offense. Easy buckets, transition. The Knicks, they don't make it easy. They don't shoot a lot of threes. They have to do it the hard way. And I think the Pistons are more than comfortable making this a series about doing it the hard way. I have concerns. Obviously, this is a bigger stage for this team. How do you survive the non-Cade minutes? Does a number 2 step up for this team? Brunson can go nuclear. We've seen him go off for 40. I think he did it 5 times in last postseason. But I think the Pistons eke it out in a feisty competitive series, Pistons in 7.
I think Cade matches or bests Brunson. I think they win that matchup. And when these teams try to play defense or they try and turn up the defense in the playoffs because now it matters, right? I mean, it always matters, but you got to get to the playoffs. And I think the Pistons have played really good team defense since January. And with that has come more wins. It's come the fact that they've gone from that play in at 7-8 to, they were even at times at 5.
Mm-hmm.
And for the fifth seed in the playoffs. So they ended up at the 6, but they're a team that they just keep playing the way that they've been playing. They don't have to change a thing that they're doing. They've got the confidence because they won 3 out of 4. They were 3-1 against the Knicks during the regular season, and I don't care when those games were, or who was in, who was out. This is a team that is trained to win this series. I think they win it in 6.
Oh.
I'm not even going 7. I think they win it in 6.
Here.
Yeah. And it's going to be one of those moments where not only do they, obviously if they're going to win in 6, they're going to win some games at the LCA. It's going to be an epic moment, that first win, and then to win the series at the LCA to go on to extend the season. It's going to be an unbelievable atmosphere in there. And it's just, and here's the other reason. It's not just the defense. That's part of it. It's the rim protector and Jalen Duren. And it's, I think Malik Beasley is a guy that can use, we saw the article.
Mm-hmm.
We know what Detroit means to him. We know what it means for him to play here. We know how much he wants to stay here. That was as much a letter of, you know, to the Detroit fan base, getting them fired up for the playoffs and what the fans mean to the team, what the team means to the city. But it was also a letter of, I want to be here. And he's going to go out in the playoffs and show why he should stay here. He's already done that. But he's going to show again why he should be here. And when you have a guy coming off the bench that can shoot like he can shoot, it's going to space the floor, it's going to add to everything that they're doing. I think that's going to be the difference maker. It's Malik Beasley. And you could say, well, sometimes shooters get cold.
Mm-hmm.
I think he is a guy with how we've seen his personality, his confidence. He's made for big moments. He's going to have some of those. We're all going to be looking for Cade to make the game-winning shot. But I think Malik Beasley is going to have some moments in every single game where it's, he's got to make a shot to keep him close.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to make a shot to stem the tide of them not scoring. And then he's going to get on a run. He's going to be the guy that really is the extra fire this team will need.
Well, I said, how do you win the minutes when Cade's not out there? Do you have a secondary scorer? And he was number team on the team in points per game. Like, he's the obvious guy, even though he comes off the bench, to keep you from falling behind when Cade's sitting, or to make the most of the opportunities when Cade's out there to build up a lead so you can survive some stretches. Because the Knicks are going to go on some scoring outbursts. I have no doubt about that. Karl Anthony Towns, I think, will be a big piece. How do they defend him in the pick and pop? Brunson, as small a guard as he is, he's going to get his shots and make his shots. To me, Asar Thompson's a key piece in this.
Oh, yeah.
Asar Thompson, you talk about why the defense has turned around. His minutes have gone up. And I think in the playoffs now, we got to drop this 22, 23 minutes thing. He should be playing 30-plus minutes a game, including fourth quarter closeout minutes, because he is a disruptor on that end of the floor.
And everybody's going to lean on, like you mentioned yesterday, with the guys that, or the writers, the pundits who have said, it's Knicks, it's Knicks, it's Knicks. Whether it's 5, 6, 7, doesn't matter. They're all picking the Knicks. And they're saying it because Cade Cunningham, no playoff experience. Asar Thompson, Ron Holland Jr., the second, Jalen Duren, Isaiah Stewart, no playoff experience.
Right.
But you do have other playoff experience. Tim Hardaway, Tobias Harris, Malik Beasley. And then you look at, I think, one of the sneaky great ads at the deadline, Dennis Schroeder.
Yes. You talk about, again, those minutes off the bench that he can stabilize them. He has played in the postseason. He's been on some teams that have made deep playoff runs. That's a really good point. Yeah, the other thing with this, too, is, the Pistons are inexperienced. There's going to be an element of they haven't played on this stage. But it's not like they're facing a powerhouse.
Right.
Like, as much as this is about, to me, the Pistons turning a corner since the new year on defense and Cade blossoming, and, hey, they'd be a tough matchup for anybody, they're not playing the Cavs or the Celtics. They're not playing the Thunder. They're not playing the elite of the elite. They're playing, to me, a bloated, overrated New York Knicks team. The Knicks could win this series. I have it going 7. I don't think the Knicks are going very far. This is a team ripe for the picking. I'll give you the stat. 15-23 against teams with winning records. The worst of any team with home court in the NBA playoffs. 10-20 against top 10 defenses. When they play a team that gets under their skin, they aren't ready for it. And when they played teams who were in the playoff and had a top 10 defense, they went 3-15. They're going to win four in this series? No, the Pistons take this.
And this is a Pistons team that we've seen at full strength beat Boston.
Yeah.
Without Cade, beat Cleveland.
Yes.
But they're not playing Boston. They're not playing Cleveland. Nobody's going to predict that they would win in a seven-game series against either of those teams. And on the other side of the bracket, Oklahoma City. It's not like they're playing against one of those teams. To your point, the Knicks have not played well against the better teams. But the Pistons have found a way to rise up against those teams.
So you got
to
decide, who are you going to take? I'll take the team that has shown they can rise up, that has another gear, as opposed to a Knicks team that feels like this is just where their season's going
to end. Especially head-to-head.
Yeah. Tom?
I'm going Knicks in seven. And I'm doing it.
You and Stoney.
Well, Stoney's at five.
I mean, the Pistons aren't even going to be competitive. They're going to get the token win or whatever.
Yeah. Right.
The reason I'm saying is the Pistons' inexperience in this situation, it's raising an eyebrow for me. Playoff basketball is different, and I don't know how they're going to respond. I think they're going to give them every ounce of fight. I think this is going to be a classic series that goes back and forth. You guys, obviously, you think they're going to win one of the first two in the Garden.
Yeah.
I agree with that, actually. What I don't like is how the schedule sets up at home. I don't like that the Knicks get an extra day for game three. And how do the Pistons respond to that situation? Young teams don't, when they grab a game on a road, oftentimes they come home.
Give it back.
And give it back. And even if they won three, then the Knicks get two more games to basically kind of save their season.
Yeah, but some of this is, I'm not afraid of having to win the games at MSG. So if I lay an egg in a game three here in Detroit, I don't then panic because, oh no, now the Knicks have the home court edge. I don't care. Play all seven games in New York.
Well, so I would rather not, but
I think this is a 51-49 series. And the reason I think they'll split the first four games, it'll be 2-2. And can the Pistons get five or seven in the Garden? I'm going to play the odds and say they barely can't. But they'll give this. I think everybody will be proud of this team after this series.
You know what? I'll match you. I'll say they go 2-2, go back to the Garden. They win game five. And then they, as I said, six, they win it at home.
Well, if they were to win that game five, that's the stuff that legends are made of. That's kind of stuff that Reggie Miller did back in the day.
You can see Spike Lee's reaction as Cade Cunningham.
I love it.
Buries his team. Oh, it'd be beautiful.
Yeah. Billy Beasley with the shake right in front of him.
Perfect. We got ticket text. We got open lines, 248-539-9797. Pistons playing in the playoffs. They got a shot to win. John and I think they will win this series. What say you? In the 7 o'clock hour, we got the cookie jar plus the big name all the Red Wing fans are looking to add. Do you want him? Can they do it? It's 97-1.